Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Final hour, next man up, 102.5 The Game. We start off this hour sending it out to Bridgestone Arena, where Chris McFarland is being introduced as the new Predators president of hockey operations.
What you don't know is what really struck me about him, and that's the kind of person he is. Chris is somebody who, we talk about being comfortable in your own skin. That's who Chris is. He is who he is. He has the self-confidence combined with humility to be an extraordinary leader, and that's in addition to his resume, why we picked him. And third, you're going to get to, I think Chris will introduce him in a minute, but he's got a terrific family, and his heart is with his family as well. So he is going to fit perfectly in Smashville, and you all are going to come to appreciate him like I have over the last period. When we started this back in February, as you remember, we hired CAA to help us do the search, and they ran a little trouble with the Players Association and had to leave the search. But they gave us an initial list of people, and when they did, I looked and I said, wow, if we could get Chris McFarland, that would be terrific. Now, there was a little problem in that he had a year left on his contract with the Avs, and they were winning, and he wasn't going to be available for a while. And so we set off on really a really intensive search, and to be honest with you, as a fairly new guy to this, it was incredibly helpful for me. I learned a lot about this business. And I learned a lot about our organization, even from talking to other folks. It was very, very helpful. So when we finally could talk to Chris, I immediately took every advantage to jump in there quick with a conversation because I knew that we would have an opportunity, but it wasn't a given thing that he would like us or that the Avs would say you can talk to him. So I want to start by saying I'm really appreciative to the Avs to, I think, doing the right thing for somebody that they had a great appreciation for. And I'll say up front, they didn't let him go easily. They were, they were very eager to keep Chris there, understandably. But we, like I said, talked to a lot of great people through the process, incredibly helpful. One of the things I learned that I already knew, actually a couple of things. Number one, this is a great opportunity. This city and this franchise and what's been built here is a great opportunity. Second, hockey is a really small world. The players and other people who are around know that. While we couldn't talk to Chris initially, we could find out a lot about him. When you talk to other great general managers and president of hockey ops around the league, and I said, if you were me, who would you go get? And Chris's name came up time and time again from the very best people in the league. And then you talk to other folks who are just associated and knew him from his time in the Avs. They all said the exact same thing. So took patience, took a little persistence, but I'm really thrilled to announce Chris McFarland as our new general manager and president of hockey operations for the Nashville Predators. Chris, welcome to Smashville.
Wow. I know I'm not going to talk as easy as Mr. Haslam here to my left. He's pretty good at it, and thank you for the very kind words. I hope you'll tell me who those National Hockey League GMs were that were saying all those nice things about me, but certainly appreciate it. There's lots of people that I have to thank, so bear with me here for a few minutes. Myself, my family, we're we're thrilled to be here. Like Bill said, this is an incredible organization. I know, you know, a lot about it from coming here, and I look forward to getting to know a lot more. But I have to start by thanking the Kroenke family, Stan, Mr. K, as I call him, Josh, for 11 wonderful years. They treated me and my family incredibly well. They were great owners. You know, when we needed something, with all the entities that they have and the responsibilities, it was always, yes, how can we help? And I owe them a great deal, you know, for this opportunity. And they were always there. So thank you, Stan. Thank you, Josh. Much appreciated. To Kevin Demoff, who I got to know in the last year. He's the CEO there of Kroenke Sports, another huge asset and pillar in that organization. Again, who helped the Avs immensely and was a massive part of the operation. And I owe Kevin a great deal of thanks for helping with this transition. Thanks, Kev. This is where it's going to get tough for me. You know, my 11 years there, you know, it was with 11 years. We had very, very few coaches. But Jared Bednar is one of the best. Best people, great coach. He knows what I think of him. Nolan Pratt, UC Parkala, Brett Heimlich, Mark Popovic, Dave Haxtell. It was an honor to work with you guys, and I know the Avs are in great hands there and will continue to be. And just a couple of other, you know, coaches, Patty Waugh, Sean Allard, Toby Peterson, Ray Bennett. Thank you, Dave Farish as well. I think that is the list, and you know, and not just in hockey, but I think in sports in general. That's not a lot of coaches for 11 years, which I think speaks to their talent, their commitment, their hard work, and you know, their success, their work. I know is a huge part of my success as well. So I thank them tremendously. The Avalanche staff. The buildings here are very different. In Colorado, we have a small office with just sort of the hockey contingency. So I'm really looking forward, actually, you know, to this setup, because it'll be easier to kind of meet the nuts and bolts of everyone that kind of makes the Preds tick. And I'm really looking forward to that. But I would be remiss if I didn't thank the incredible people that I had the opportunity to work with. You know, assistant GMs and Kevin McDonald and Andrew Cogliano, Andrew Wilson, and Susan Borchardt on the hockey side. You know, there's, when you're a general manager, you need people that you trust that are going to be in the, you know, in the battle with you. And they did a great job to make sure Joe and myself didn't fall out of bed, and carried a lot of the heavy lifting, and owe them a great deal of thanks. And you know, the support staff, and Brendan, you know, Brandon Walker has been a massive help, and here in this transition, Brendan McNicholas and Aaron DeGraff in Colorado are some of the best people at what they do, in addition to being fantastic lifelong friends. 11 years, that was a long time, and you know, the Avs players, I know, you know, a lot of my success in my career is due to the work of a lot of, you know, other people. And when we first got to Colorado, we had a rough, you know, a rough second year. And again, the Kroenkes and, you know, stuck by us, stuck by Jared and our team. And, you know, under Joe's leadership, we were able to work a plan and got a little bit better each year. Making the playoffs on the last day of the season after that rough second year. I want to thank the players, past and present. It's not lost on me. Bear with me. But I love them. To Joe, Deb, and the entire Sakic family. I know you guys are going through a tough, heavy lifting spot with the passing of Claude Lemieux. I just want to, you know, give you my condolences, and we're thinking of you. Joe, you took a flyer on me 11 years ago. You actually listened to Craig Billington. I know you guys probably don't know Biller, but he's a huge part of the fabric in that Denver organization, was a longtime goalie and an assistant GM at the time, and he kind of connected me and Joe. And Joe was a mentor and a lifelong friend, massive for me and my career, and I will miss him. Working with him was a dream opportunity for me, and I owe him a massive debt of gratitude. Special thanks to Deb for her friendship and kindness to me, Chan, and our family. Joe would get a lot of late night texts from me for 11 years, and she would always, you know, give me a shot or two as as to why they needed to come at all times of the day. But she got it, and you know, the stuff she did for us and welcoming us to Colorado was big. To my wife Chan, sitting right here. You know you're the reason I get to do what I love to do. And I'm a general manager in hockey, but you know, my wife is the general manager of our family. She's the marketing person, the medical director, the team services person. You know, she raised four kids.
And your kids would tell me that she's a technical director too, because you can't do anything.
That's fair. And she's done an amazing job, and I'm super proud of her. And thank you. To my children, who two of them are here. Our oldest works a few hours to the north, I think. So we're closer to him, and super excited about that. Jake, Kara, who's here, Gavin, and Sawyer, who's not here. He's our hockey player back home in Colorado, and Brett, Kara's boyfriend, made the trip, so thank you guys. I think this group here will get used to the blue and yellow pretty quick. Sawyer, I'm going to have to work on. He had the Columbus tattoo for a long time, and eventually he's got the burgundy and blue. He's not super thrilled just yet, but we'll get him there in time. We just got to get him out here, I think. So he's dug in right now, but we'll work on that. To this guy right here, and Chrissy, thank you. Thank you for the trust that you've put in me and the faith you've shown. It's been a pleasure to get to know you and Chrissy, and super down to earth, super easy people to talk to, and you can tell there's a genuine quality about them, and that for me is massive. The relationship part of what we do is not just going to be on the ice, it's going to be off the ice. You know, we're going to win together, we're going to lose together, we're going to laugh together, and probably going to cry together, as I've almost done here a few times, like a yo-yo. But I just want to say thank you. It's been a pleasure to get to know you. And you know, the one question I think that kind of really sold me on it when Bill and I were talking was, it was going to take a hell of an opportunity and situation to get me to think about leaving Colorado. I loved everything about it, as I think you can tell from, you know, the players and the team there. I was very attached, and still am to a degree, I'm not going to lie. I wish them the best. But, you know, I said, Mr. Haslam, is the goal here, you know, to make the playoffs, make a wild card, you know, feel good about that and high five each other, you know, or is the goal here to build a team that can compete and try to bring a Stanley Cup to Broadway? And he didn't hesitate. You know, he was, the goal here is to try and win. And that's really, quite honest, you know, all I needed to hear. The city speaks for itself. Your organization speaks for itself. I've come here as a visiting GM and scout, you know, for 25 years. You know, when he answered that, you know, that got me really excited, because sometimes there's short-term pain. Sometimes there's, and I'm not even sure it's pain. For me, it's just part of the journey. It's part of the process to building a team that can win consistently and have a chance. And it's really hard to win in this league. It's, you know, the best league in the world, in my opinion. And you need a lot to go right, you know, to try and do what Vegas and Carolina are doing right now. So that answer to me, you know, was everything. So thank you. Super excited to get to work. I got to give a special props to the search committee, and I'm still getting to know the names, but Sean here. I keep wanting to call him Sean. I don't know why. I just need a nickname for everybody, I think.
That's what it is now, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Michelle, I got to, you know, pretty unique opportunity to chat with, call him Coach, but Nick Saban, obviously, one of the members of the ownership group here, and Chris as well. And, you know, thank you to them for their faith. And obviously, Bill leans on them, and they were tremendous people to talk to during this process. You know, I think everyone knows that Nashville is a destination spot, not, you know, not just to come in and have a good time, but I think players want to be here. It's a great city. I've heard it's a tremendous place to live. You know, my time, you know, like you said, was coming from the Gulch to walking in the arena as a scout usually, but we can't wait to become part of the community here and to dig in with my new teammates in the organization, and super excited. You know, we might, like I said, trust our, you know, the process, enjoy the ride. You know, I think we want to build something here, and I want to just be a part of the team here, and we want to get the little kids in Tennessee, get the tattoo on them from an early age so that, you know, we can ride through the challenging years, enjoy the great years, but make hockey something that's in the blood of every, you know, young Tennessee fan, you know, and build something really, really special. I'll just close. I'm going to have to get used to this Fang Fingers thing. It was easier as a scout, to be honest, because you're not invested emotionally in the game. But when I, you know, come in here with the Avs or the Blue Jackets, that thing drove me nuts because it usually meant something bad might be happening with the likes of Shea Weber and Subban and some of those guys. But thank you for welcoming us. I really look forward to meeting everybody. Bear with me on the names, and thank you.
Chris, Bill, thank you very much. We'll open up to questions now. We are using the mics. If you could please state your name, your outlet, so Chris can get to know you, and who your question is directed to, that would be great. We'll go to Alex.
Hi, Chris. Alex Daugherty with the Tennessean. Welcome to Nashville.
Hi, Alex.
What was your pitch to in the interview on how to turn this team to a Stanley Cup winner like you did with Colorado?
Well, I'll start by saying I didn't do it. I was part of a team that did it, and there's never one person that can do it, no matter what. You need to marry the scouts, the analytics department, your coaches, and most of all the players. At the end of the day, it's the players on the ice, and we've got to build something that gives them the best opportunity that's going to maximize their abilities to do it. And when you can get collaboration, and for me it's this, when you can build something that, you know, the glue of your team and all those pieces are humming together off the ice and on the ice and through ownership ultimately, then I think special things can happen. And I think, again, I go back to, you know, Joe, right, my, you know, who I had, again, had the good fortune of working with. And you know, from the second I walked through that door, that was the plan, on the ice and off the ice, to be first class. No matter what the record is, we are going to do things first class, and we are going to build something special incrementally, by, you know, small step by small step. And sometimes that takes time, and sometimes that takes honesty about where you're at in an organization, honesty with the players and the coaches. But that's and the fans and the narrative to the people of, you know, the Preds fans, whether they're Nashville or in the, you know, throughout the land. But that's what we're going to look forward to try and do here. And you know, I think, you know, Bill and I got into the weeds on a lot of different things, and obviously there's work to do here. We're not where we want to be, but there's a lot of good pieces here, and there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of draft capital, but ultimately the results happen on the ice, and we just want to put our players and the team in the best position to have success and make life as easy as for them off the ice so that they can focus on the job at hand, which is trying to win hockey games, which is not easy to do in this league. So
Chris, Brooks Bratton, NashvillePredators.com. Great to see you. Welcome.
Thank you.
For you, you've touched on the emotion of leaving a place like Colorado, but the attractiveness of a position like this to not only be general manager, also president of hockey ops, and the chance to really shape this franchise for the foreseeable future. How attractive is that? How do you view that opportunity right now?
Well, it was very, it's very attractive. There's so many things to like about this organization, and you know, there's only 32 general manager jobs in this league, and it's an honor to work in the National Hockey League. I dreamed about being a scout, you know, when I was trying to figure out how I was going to do this, and then, you know, whether it's through, you just hope, you know, your work and your grind and that sort of thing, and you trust people. And I had the great fortune of working with great people in Columbus and became an assistant GM. And that, again, that was through the help of a lot of people, you know, Scott Housen, you know, Mike Priest and the people in Columbus, you know, put good trust and faith in me. And then you go to Colorado 10 years later and continue to be blessed with good things and be around good people. And you become, you get, your Joe Sakic, you know, turns the reins over to you when he didn't have to do that to become a general manager. So, you know, did I ever dream of being a president? No, you don't think of that. But it is an honor for me to be in the National Hockey League. Every day I don't feel like I've had a job, but for me it's a passion. And it's a blessing. But to be able to do it here, to work, you know, with people like this and everyone here that I look forward to, again, building relationships with, it's a super honor.
Adam, on the right in the middle.
Hi, Chris. Adam Vingan from 102.5 The Game. Welcome to Nashville. Congratulations on the new job. I'm going to piggyback off of Alex's question. When you look at the current roster, plus the prospects in the pipeline, how close do you believe this team is truly, how close do you think this team is to truly competing for the Stanley Cup again, and how will that dictate your approach in the near term?
Again, it's a fair question. I think, you know, I just got here, right? So I feel like I have a good handle on the team and the prospect pool, which is very attractive, right? But it is super attractive. But prospects have to be developed, right? And they all come at different times. Some need time to cook. Some, you know, pop quick. And become, you know, staples of the franchise. We're going to let them, they'll tell us when they're ready, type of thing. I'm going to need time to poke around under the hood here and to truly get a feel for that, you know, and some of it might not come until the fall and rookie camp and training camp and the start of the season. I always say, you know, at least the players will tell us, you know, how the season starts, where we're at. You know, we didn't make the playoffs this year, but there's turnover every single year. There is the danger of that we're in the mushy middle, right? So those are all kinds of things that we're gonna chat about internally, and we'll figure it out. But there's lots of good players here. There's lots of good prospects, and there's picks, you know, that will either be used to continue to build the prospect pool here and at the right age bracket, in my opinion, and or be used to acquire, you know, certain level of assets. So I've got a lot of things to kind of, you know, work through here between now and the draft, and getting to know internal staff and the infrastructure here, which I'm super excited about. I know there's good people here. And I really look forward to getting to know them. That's kind of step one. But, you know, to answer your question, we're going to look to get better. How quick that happens, you know, again, the players will dictate that. And I think I got to Colorado in right around this time in May of 2015, and there had been some good players drafted there, right? So, you know, the Nathan McKinnons, the Gabriel Landeskogs, the Matt Duchesnes, and, you know, we got into the playoffs, but we had to go through the narrative, right? The second round and threw it up over our shoulders 7 years later. Again, it's hard. It's a really hard thing to do, but I think the first step first is to build, get the foundation right, get the right people in place on the hockey side and to work with the players to help them maximize their abilities, and then we'll go from there.
Chris, hello,
hey. Sir. Chris Harris, WSMV. Nice to meet you. Welcome to town.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Yes, sir. Kind of along those lines, what will your process be like relative to making decisions about the coaching staff, and where does that fall in the pecking order of things that you have to do immediately?
It's very similar. I know Andrew Brunette a lot from the scouting circles and in the past. I know he's a very good person. Derek McKenzie and Luke Richardson, I had the good fortune of having as players, so I know them a little bit during my Columbus days. So, like, you know, I'm going to call all those guys this week. I'm going to meet with, you know, when Jeff Kielty and Scott Nickel and the staff, you know, get back from the combine. We're going to bring the pro guys in next week to get up to speed, and I'll chat with Brew, and, you know, today or tomorrow, and we'll, you know, I got to get a feel for things before, you know, looking at all that type of stuff. So, but I look forward to chatting with Brew here today or tomorrow.
Chase in the back on the left. On the
Chase
right.
McCabe, 102.5 The Game and Predators Radio. Welcome to Smashville, Chris.
Hi, Chase.
You obviously have seen a few times what a game-changing forward can do for a franchise, and that's something that this organization, like every organization, obviously looks for. When you look at the draft assets and some of the roster assets you have, how will you try and go about acquiring a guy like that, like a Nathan McKinnon, for this franchise?
Each employee's healthcare needs are unique. Shouldn't their coverage be as well? Group plans are...
You usually have to go through some pain to get those guys in the draft, and the acquisition cost on those types of guys in the marketplace is astronomical, to be quite frank. So I think we've got it, you know, this 10th pick is something that I'm super excited about. There's lots of different ways to skin the cat, but, you know, the franchise, the true franchise player is it's usually drafted, and it's usually going through some organizational, I don't like the word pain. It's just part of the, again, it's part of the journey, right? Whether you look at Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane and Sidney Crosby of Jenny Malkin, and those teams were good for a long time because of that process, and Colorado was no different with, you know, the likes of Nathan McKinnon and Gabriel Landeskog, two giants in that lineup, in that room, and then you sprinkle in a Cale Makar and presto, right? Like, but those guys aren't readily available, and in some years when you're picking high, that type of talent isn't in the draft. So it's a challenge, right? But I think what I can say is, whether it's a trade, a free agent, or whatever, we will leave no stone unturned, and I think you can build a competitive team that can win hockey games and be dangerous in different ways. And we will be ready that if there is an opportunity to strike from the outside, we'll have done the work, we'll be prepared, we'll have the information, and be ready to go. But, you know, to get a, you know, I wish that we can bring, you know, Nathan here, because he's a...
Wait, I thought this was a package deal.
Yeah. But he's, you know, he's there, and he's there for a long time. He's a rock star player and human and massive part of my success. So, but those guys are hard to get and hard to acquire.
Hey, Chris, Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. You mentioned the mushy middle, and that's a phrase we've heard a lot here with this team lately. you've talked a good bit about different ways to do this, but in your opinion, in order to break out of that, does it require being really bad before a team can be really good?
No, I don't think so. I think, like I said, there's different ways. You know, there are star players drafted at various points of the draft. I do think, you know, the draft is key, though. You know, I think you can get, you know, really good players at the various parts of the first round. You know, in Colorado, we had ironically had pick 10, and we're, you know, fortunate our scouts did an unreal job, and Miko Rantanen was, you know, added to the mix, and I mean, we all know how good he is. So you just got to keep building good player upon good player, and putting them in good situations in your organization and the development of those guys, and then when there's an opportunity to strike, whether it's, you know, a trade or whatever, then you got to be ready to do it. I do think the focus for us in that area is going to be a certain age bracket. Just being totally honest, I don't see us as looking to trade massive assets or young assets for a certain level age of player. I do think that we got to be mindful of that. But I think there's lots of different ways to improve. And talking to the hockey guys here, like they signed Vitaly Pinchuk, right, a few weeks ago or a month ago or whatever that was. And, you know, if you can find a productive player, whether he's a third line center or a number five defenseman, and you do that without using draft capital or, you know, making having to use assets to make a trade, you just got better, right? So I think those are the things we're gonna talk about here, whether it's a college free agent or continuing to look in Europe. We'll continue to mine for gems that way as well.
Yeah, if I can throw in one quick comment to that, Gentry, I was watching last night Carolina and Vegas, like a lot of you all were. And those are two pretty different ways to build a team, right? Vegas, I think, maybe has one or two draft picks on their whole roster. And Carolina has their core, they're out of draft picks. So I don't think there's only one way to get great in this league.
Chris, George Plaster, 94.9, welcome to Nashville. Help us with the timeline a little bit. First of all, when the job came open, did you kind of say to yourself, man, this is one I'd like to get in the middle of? When did you find out they were interested, and when did y'all do this?
The answer to your first part, no, right? Like the job, you know, Barry's a good friend of mine, and we've chatted numerous times over the years, and made a few deals together. So no, I'm in Colorado and super excited and super content to work with Joe, and you know, we were trying to do what we were trying to do. So, you know, that was my focus on. You know, I think Bill and I had a long chat yesterday, and Nick and Sean and Michelle and the group. So, you know, when you get word that a team has reached out, you know, that like Bill said, I have a contract. I was super happy there, but it was a whirlwind for sure.
Yeah, I'll throw this is George. This is a little bit like when I was trying to get Chrissy to marry me. The salesmanship was all on one side. Okay.
We'll go back to Adam.
Question for Bill and Sean, because I don't want you to feel left out.
I never do.
This process. Because of where we are in the South, there is a lot of interest in Nick Saban's role in all of this. How much influence did he wield throughout this process in finding Chris?
Yeah.
The guy, we all know he's a winner, right? Biggest winner we all know. But the presence that he has and the way he evaluates things, it changed the entire interview process for us. There are times we were looking at him saying, oh, I wish I asked that, or I wish I saw it that way. But the other is the credibility that he gives you when he reaches out, you know, to Chris and they talk. It just changes, you know, everything that you can do or would do. But I think it made the entire committee a little bit, you know, better in how we approached it, how we evaluated it. The amazing thing after each interview was his process. As he analyzed what he heard, why he heard it, what he thought wasn't said. And saying it's impressive is such a slight to him. It was incredible. Right?
Yeah. As you all know, Nick believes in process in a big way. And so he brought that same mindset, A, to our process of hiring somebody, but B, as he was questioning people and he was involved with everybody we talked to, you could see him drilling down. Well, okay, then what? Then it wouldn't, he wouldn't, he doesn't ever take the easy first answer. It's like, ask the next question, then the next one that sometimes you don't want them to ask. But he'd ask that. So incredible. I'm Sean nailed it. Incredibly helpful and really thankful that he was willing to, you know, jump in and be vitally involved in the process.
Someone tweeted out, he's a great recruiter still. And this is evidence of it. It truly, truly is.
Russell on the right.
Russell Venosi, Main Street, Nashville. Chris, welcome to town.
Thanks, Russell.
I know a couple seasons ago you were on the other side of the Eustace Onnen trade. Yep. What have you made of his improvement since that trade, and what are just your really early thoughts on the goaltending situation here?
Super happy for Juice. As the staff here told me, there's big Juice and little Juice here in the net. And I think, you know, when we drafted Onnen in there, our scouts were super excited on him. I think, you know, for us at the organizational cycle that we were in, we got off to a little bit of a bumpy start that year, and there was a lot of pressure and the pressure in the net at the time, and we just felt we needed to stabilize there, and we did. We moved a young guy with upside for you know, what we felt was a more established veteran calming type guy that for the stage we were in when Colorado was in, that's gonna be hard for me to break, so bear with me on that. But, you know, Scott Wedgwood came in and did a fantastic job for the Avs. And no, I'm not surprised that Eustace came here and, you know, found his game. And obviously, you know, with his commitment and his work, that was never in question. He was always a hardworking, quiet, quality pro. And I think the goaltending department here, you know, probably has done some really good work as well, and it's allowed him to develop and you know, stretch his wings, so to speak, a little bit. So I think the goaltending here is a strength. I think, you know, Saros has been a good goalie for a long time. I think he's a guy that, you know, a team can lean on. You got to win games in different ways, right? You got, you know, whether you score easier, but you're at the end of the day, the goaltender is the most important position, and can cover up and band-aid some things that where the, you know, on certain nights you're going to need your goalie, and I think Saros has shown that he's a really reliable, trustworthy goaltender in this league. So very fortunate to have both of them.
Maybe one more, and then we'll break down. Chris is going to be available afterwards to talk as well. But maybe one more, and then we'll.
It's a lot of pressure, Alex.
Yeah, Chris, you're in your
overtime
time.
Right now.
That's right. And in your time in Colorado, it was hard to, you know, you were assistant GM under Joe Sakic, and then GM under President of Hockey Ops Joe Sakic, parsing out responsibility or credit or anything. And I know you don't want to get in too much in that, but if I could give a couple examples, like. The trade in 2017 for Duchesne and the trade this past season with Mikko Rantanen, is that kind of thing where, like, you came up with it, Sakic signed off on it, he came up with it, you signed off on it? How did you kind of go about that?
Easy. We worked together on everything. It was never like, you know, in Colorado, we never used the term "that's my player," or "that's my trade." It everything was done as we, from the ownership to scouts to Joe to myself, and that continued right on through. You know, everybody has their thoughts, right? The last thing I think an organization wants on the hockey side is groupthink, right? If we have 10 scouts and they all agree on the same thing, we don't need 9 of you. Like, that's how we look at it, right? Like, we want to look under the hood and use analytics and coaches and things like that. But I can honestly say, like, I think you hear it in my voice, the way I talk about Joe. From day one, I was, you know, I felt like I could add value to him, and I started there, you know, working extensively close with the pro scouts and on the analytics side, and Joe was a huge mentor and allowed me to touch a lot of different things, and we worked very, very close together from day one and until last week, and you know, we talked everything, life, kids, family, but a lot of hockey, and probably for every day during those 11 years. And I learned a lot from him, both, you know, about hockey and power play and things of that sort, and his thoughts on the game. And he's one of the best to ever do it. So you'd have to be foolish to not listen to him when he speaks about the game. But we worked very close together, and again, that was one of the best things. We can bounce ideas off each other, whether it was Joe making the calls, you know, early in my tenure there with as AGM, or when he did the amazing thing that he did and promoted me to GM and became, you know, stayed as president and didn't have to do that. So, but we shared ideas, and we shared ideas from our scouts, from our analytics guys. And again, it was just an amazing team process. So,
thank all you for coming. I want to tell one, Chris is going to be mad at me for telling this, but it tells you about the kind of person we hired. All of this obviously transpired pretty quickly. And so Chris had to, you know, wanted to tell his assistant GMs and coach Bedsy that he was leaving. And, you know, he wanted to do that personally before the news broke, which obviously is the right thing to do. But I called him right after that, and he said, he's going to kill me for telling the story, but he said, I'm going to have to call you back. I'm just a little emotional after talking to my guys. And you want somebody that has a great head, that can make great decisions, but also has a great heart. And we've hired somebody who has both of those. So, Chris, couldn't be more excited.
Really?
I think so.
You had to do that?
Yeah. Well, I promise not to tell many more stories. Hey, thanks, everybody. Appreciate you being here, Nick.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
That was Chris McFarland being introduced out at Bridgestone Arena. We'll react and send it back out there after this. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Quick final segment here. We aired the whole Chris McFarland introductory press conference. Lots of good stuff there. Didn't give firm answers really on anything. Was asked about the coaching staff. Said that he knows Andrew Brunette. Says he's a great person, but going to have a conversation with him coming up in the next couple of days. Was asked about the direction he wants to take this team. And he did say that sometimes you have to have some tough years. He was refusing to use the word pain, but that was the one he kept alluding to in order to become a Stanley Cup contender. But I do think you got a lot of good stuff out of Chris McFarland there, and excited to see what he is going to be able to do as the next GM and president of hockey operations for the Nashville Predators. Again, it has to be a quick final segment here before we get you off to chasing Big Joe, because we went 40 minutes commercial free there on the introductory press conference. But coming up, Chase and Big Joe, they are live out at Bridgestone Arena, so they're going to have full reaction to everything Chris McFarland had to say, everything Bill Haslam had to say, and what this means for the Predators moving forward. They'll also have some guests on over there, so excited for that. Chase and Big Joe are coming up at noon, right after us. Big thanks to Corey Curtis for joining us for most of the show today. Lots of good insight from Corey, and we'll have him back on again next week. But tomorrow on the show, it is a TD Thursday. So we will get back into more Titans topics tomorrow, talk about OTAs as they are on an off week this week, but coming back 3 open practices next week. So going to get TD's thoughts on everything going on with the Titans, and of course, a busy week around the NFL. But that wraps things up for us. Again, coming up next, Chase and Big Joe are live at Bridgestone Arena, and they are giving full reaction to Chris McFarland being introduced as the next president of hockey operations and GM of the Nashville Predators. That's coming up next. Keep it right here on 102.5 The Game.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.